Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
The sixth chapter of Ephesians we hear, work as if you were serving the Lord, not as if you were serving only men and women. Eternal Lord, we are to work together as servants of the people of Missouri. May we do so as unto you. As we are attendant to the needs of our people and hear His Excellency's address to the people, may our joint effort not be to the bottom line, but to please you, our God, caring for the needy and comforting the broken lives in this economy. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Barnetts, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Prowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nadler, Pierce, Ferguson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumacher, Smith, Stouffer, Vogel, Wilson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the second. The quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 10th day, Monday, January 26, 2009. The Senate met...
Senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, I move that further the reading of the journal be dispensed with, the same being approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests.
Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on your left and my right, from Ellington, Missouri, any of those of you that went to the Current River, ever been to Van Buren, it's on the hill, south of Ellington, on the hill. From the whole Kids Outreach, we have two of my constituents here, Sister Ann Francione and Mitzi O'Dowd are here. They do services for the underprivileged in this area. Those of you don't realize that Reynolds County is one of the poorest counties in the state. It's underserved in almost every area for early childhood, on pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies, high-risk pregnancies. That's what these sisters, these ladies do every day. They work in Carter, Iron, Reynolds, Shannon, and Wayne counties. That's 5 of the 10 poorest counties in the state. They do a great service. They've been in business for 10 years, often in trying times financially, to try to stay alive and help these women and children in these areas. And I wanted to welcome them today, and I hope that you would make them feel
welcome. The entire Missouri Senate is delighted to have these special guests with us here today. Introductions of guests. Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some guests with me from the first senatorial this morning. They're in the upper gallery. It's the Clark family, and Joe and Tracy Clark and their children, Grace and Jenna, Luke and Sarah, are with us, and they come down and visit the Capitol every year. Joe is a detective with the St. Louis County Police Department, and Tracy is a homeschool mom, and their youngest, Sarah, actually counted, I believe she's 2 years old, she counted to 10 in Spanish for me this morning in my office. And so very impressive, and I wish the body would make them feel welcome.
I should say, will the guests of the senator from the first please rise for welcome by the Missouri Senate. And the senator from the fifth.
President, thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of two special guests. On the side of the chamber to my right and your left, I have my intern, Mr. Herb Patterson. He is a senior at Lincoln University, majoring in poli-sci, political science. I'd ask for the chamber to welcome him. And my second set of guests are in the upper gallery behind me. That's Bob and Jill Johnson from the city of St. Louis. I believe I saw them there. They are with their children, Brandon and Miriam, and they are here with the Share Homeschool Group. They are a homeschool family, and I would ask the Senate to welcome them.
Will all the guests of the Senator from the 5th please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate? The Senator from the 2nd.
Mr. President, I have a couple guests here today. Over on my right and your left, we have two young ladies from O'Fallon, Missouri. Have Carissa Mattern, who is up. She is on the First Step State Board, and she has her lovely daughter, Emily Mattern, with us today, who was, I think, her inspiration on getting involved with Children for Special Needs up for our Child Advocacy Day. So if the body could please welcome Carissa and Emily Mattern from O'Fallon, Missouri.
Will the guests of the Senator from the 2nd please rise for recognition? Further introduction, Senator.
So could you please make Emily Mattern a page for the day to serve without compensation?
Emily will be made a page for the day to serve at compensation to be paid by the Senator from the 2nd. Further introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from St. Francois.
I'd like to bring up resolution. I'd like to make a motion to bring resolution number 140 before the body.
Senator, we are on the order of business of concurrent resolutions.
But you just switched to
resolution. You are bringing up a regular resolution.
Yes. I thought you just switched.
Is it your desire to go back to the order of business of resolution? Resolutions. The
Mr.
Senator
President,
from St. Francis.
I'd like to bring Senate resolution number 140 before the body, and I would move for its passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is before us. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the two. We're going to do the two that we talked about yesterday. I said I'd look at it today or Wednesday, and then I looked at the schedule, and we've got the State of the Judiciary tomorrow, so we're not going to have time to talk about it. What I ask, both these have been brought before me, so I told them I would ask, and I would like to talk about it a little bit. If we've got problems with it, tell us what problems you have with it. Vote no. I'd like possibly neither one to be filibustered, but if that's the case, we'll do that too. I can live without them or with them. This first one deals with the assignment of the floor seats and the room offices. And I outlined it yesterday, but I'll go over it basically again. The way we have it now, even though we tell everybody we do it by seniority, there are certain spots that are for minorities and certain spots for the majority. What this bill would do, and I brought a chart to make it, if it was today, now it wouldn't go into effect until the next session, 2 years from now, but if it was today, the seat where the president pro tem would be designated for the floor leader. The one next to it would be for the president pro tem, and then two over would be for the minority leader. And that would, like yesterday when the pro tem and I were yelling back and forth that he had bills to read in and things, it would stop some of that. As far as the other seat assignments, it would be strictly on seniority. So like now, the effect would be that some of the senators that have been here for a couple years would actually had the priority over some of the freshman majority members. But then we could truly say that this was being taken by seniority and seniority alone. On room assignments, right now, the only thing that's set aside is Senator Shields' office. This resolution would call for that to be set aside for the pro tem. Room 319, which is currently, and I don't care if we change the room numbers, but the 319 is currently the senator from the 8th office. That's the one that's right out here that is big enough to accommodate a group if the floor leader has a group that wants to meet with them, which seems to make sense. and Senator from the 11th, room 333, would always be designated as the minority floor leader's office, which is close to the floor and big enough to accommodate a group that wants to see him or her. That's all this does. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
To inquire for the senator from St. Francis.
Does the senator yield?
I yield.
Proceed.
I don't even mind if we put a budget chairman's spot in.
Well, that's what I was going to inquire about. That by tradition, this seat, this chair has been occupied by the chairman of the Appropriations Committee in order to allow communication with the staff during the presentation of the budget. And it seems to me if we're going to fix locations, that would appear to be the most strategically important one to do. So if you're going to do it, I certainly...
For the senators that haven't been here before, during the appropriations process, the appropriation chair usually has his people right there that can give him information on questions so that you don't have to yell and send notes back and forth, which is appropriate. Now, I'd be happy to be open to that if you would like to do that. But I would assume that you would want to do that. Well, yes. I was going to say he's about ready to go back to me to close, so if you want to do it. All right.
The senator from the 10th is on her feet if this inquiry is over.
Okay.
Inquire of the senator from St. Francis.
Does the senator yield?
I yield.
He yields, you may inquire.
Senator, just a quick question. I think that the senator from the 4th and I were surprised when we came in to do seat selection this year that it wasn't based on seniority, because that's what we thought, and then of course we found out we weren't able to move because it was indeed by seniority but also by caucus. Will this do away with the allotment of seats by caucus?
It would.
Okay.
And I was surprised too when I came, because I'm so stupid that I decided to run for this position just a short period before, and so I went and said, do I have to have a senator from Buchanan's office, because you know Winston comes to visit me and it's a wood floor and maybe that's not good? And the secretary immediately told me, Senator, just because you were voted floor leader does not give you any more seniority, and there, you know, so you will take whatever comes to you at your spot, which was pretty good leveling experience to show you that I really didn't get anything from that first thing, but I thought it was nice of her to inform me. Yeah, you don't. It's only been tradition since most of the time it took 20 years or so to get to your spot. Then you would have an office like that in close proximity with big enough to accommodate, not the fact that you are elected today. With the change of term limits, I think that's important. This will not affect me in any way. I will not get it. I just think for the future it makes sense to do this, because we are going to have senators elected to these positions that only have 4 years, 2 years, 6 years experience, and you're always going to have people ahead of them, so it would make sense to designate those areas. And I do think that, I wish I would have thought about the appropriations chair, because I think that does make sense too. You don't want to have that person out in the middle shouting back and forth to their people that are doing the budget.
I agree. Well, I appreciate you bringing this.
And we're still talking here because he's still working on that.
No, and I understand, and you know, I'm able to say now that Senator from the 4th and I, several people thought that we chose to stay in these seats. And just clear that up for the chamber, we didn't. We didn't have a choice. So
does the Senator of the 4th know where his seat is?
Well, that's a good question. Okay. I don't know
I'm
where the Senator from the 4th is today. But no.
Well, thank you. I think the Senator from the 13th has an inquiry.
Excellent.
That
thank
will stall
you,
as long as we need.
President, to inquire the Senator from St. Francis.
Does the Senator yield?
I, in fact, yield. Yes.
Proceed.
Senator, a few questions. First, let's do a hypothetical. You're assigning these offices to these...
He was listening.
You're assigning these offices to these caucus positions. Say that individual loses that position, now has to move out of that office.
Oh, Senator, it was so close to have the Senator from the 4th getting gaveled here, but he was saved by the Senator. Yes, offices.
Say you're in a caucus position and you are not term limited and you relinquish that caucus position. then you have to move out of that office. Then you could only take an office that's available. So you're kind of putting people that were in those positions back at the bottom of the chain for an office when they have more seniority than the people at the bottom of the chain. So I think I got a way to fix that for you, but I don't think it'll be popular. If you're going to make the seat assignments, the Senate as a whole, why don't we make the offices seniority, the Senate as a whole? Now, no senator, once they have their office, that office can never be taken from them. But if you want to bring the Senate truly as a whole, then why don't we do it with office spaces as well? So, I'm still inquiring.
That was a dramatic pause.
I will let you know when I conclude. Yes. Mr. President, I'm going to attempt that. I know I'm going to get defeated, but we want to say one thing. Let's try it.
Senator,
I have an amendment.
Senator from the 13th, please send your amendment forward. Senator, has it been distributed?
No, it hasn't. I just received it. So.
So when it arrives, I'll ask the Secretary to please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Green to amend Senate Resolution 140 as it appears on page 177 of the Senate Journal for Monday, January 26, 2009, lines 31 through 43, by striking said lines and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, Rule 29.1. Senate offices and seat assignments in the chamber shall be assigned on the basis of seniority as defined in subsection 2 of this rule, except that rooms 326 and 327 shall be known as the President Pro Tem's office and shall be occupied by the Senate's President Pro Tem. Upon retirement from service as Pro Tem, that senator shall vacate the Pro Tem's office and shall have first choice of available vacant offices regardless of seniority status. Except for the outgoing President Pro Tem, who is required to vacate the designated Pro Tem's office, no senator shall be required to relinquish any office or seat once assigned to him or her. Close quote. And further amend Senate Resolution 140 as it appears on page 178 of the Senate Journal for Monday, January 26, 2009, line 1, by striking, quote, by each caucus. Close quote. And further amend Senate Resolution 140 as it appears on page 178 of the Senate Journal for Monday, January 26, 2009, line 5, by striking, quote, there, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, the President Pro Tem, close quote. And further amend Senate Resolution 140 as it appears on page 178 of the Senate Journal for Monday, January 26, 2009, lines 6 through 18, by striking said lines.
Senator from the 13th, do you care to explain your amendment?
I move for the adoption, and basically what this amendment does is when you're talking about seat assignments, you're also talking about offices. No senator, once they're awarded an office, would ever lose that office unless they relinquish it for another office. But instead of having caucus office set aside, it'd just be by seniority 1 through 34. And when that office came up, we would pick then instead of separating them by caucuses. So I'm just trying to make us one really big happy family.
The senator from the 13th has moved for adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any other senators desire to be heard?
I just want to mention, he wanted to talk before, but he doesn't now. Okay.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion amendment from the senator from the 13th? Senator from Buchanan?
Thank you. May I inquire of the senator from the 13th?
Do you yield, Senator?
I'm sorry, I was in deep consultation here with trying to figure out this whole resolution, whether it needs to be done or not. Tell me what your amendment does.
It puts seniority for senators as a whole instead of seniority on a caucus level So when you come in, the caucuses are assigned offices. It's just Senate as a whole seniority.
Yeah. Let me...
Is it self-serving? My seniority would go from about 16th to 3.
The... yeah, it would be self-serving. So. Let me suggest this.
Hard too. I guess you and I are at the same time.
I've got... It's not that I have problems with the resolution or your amendment in theory. I'm trying to think through the practical aspects of all this, and I probably, frankly, need a little bit more time to think this thing through. But one of the issues, just an easy issue that I see, is that it designates the seat for the president pro tem. Okay, we pick seats right after caucus elections and everything like that. But in theory, remember, the president pro tem is not elected until the first day of session by the entire body.
I agree.
And if people say, well, that would never, ever happen.
It has.
I mean, look at Sam Leak over in the House, who between November and January thought he was going to be Speaker, and then...
No, for those of you that do not know, Norm Merrill became pro tem with a coalition of Republicans and Democrats after the Democrats had united and picked the pro tem. That was not the pro tem that was picked the first day of session. So it has transpired.
It has. And then the other thing I would tell you that people need to understand the process by how all this works anyway. After the November elections and after the caucus elections, what happens is that the minority leader sits down with the pro tem elect, and we go through offices and seat assignments and all that and try to make some sense out of it and reach an agreement on what it could be or should be. I would argue that I don't know that that process is broken, but those two folks, if they wanted to do it by seniority, they could do it by seniority. If they wanted to jumble it up and say, you know, every chair on this floor is by seniority except for this one, that's all available within the existing process. What I'm worried about, and probably need a little bit more time to think about, is what are all the ramifications of doing it this way and leading out in the future, and is it something that can be handled by the leadership of both caucuses?
Senator, I do not want to shock you, but I agree with you.
Okay. I just wanted to raise that issue, and I appreciate Senator from St. Francis is trying to do. I'm wondering if there's a better way to do it or if we just need to think it through a little bit.
Probably thinking it through a little bit would be wiser, but I've seen this moving kind of quickly this morning, so that's why I'm offering my amendment that if it's going to move quick, I want to be given an opportunity to bring that issue up.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 8th, for what reason do you seek
recognition? I'd like to briefly seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Seeing no objection, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your right and my left are members of the Link Commission from the city of Buckner in northeastern Jackson County. They are here advocating on behalf of their community, and they're interested in building a community center. So please join me in welcoming them.
Would the guest of the Senator from the 8th please rise and be recognized by the Missouri Senate? Senator from the 11th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from 13th?
Senator from 13th, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. You may proceed.
Senator, let me, I got your, you and I have talked a little bit about this, but your amendment, except for the President pro tem's office and seat assignment, leaves everything else to seniority, essentially,
yes.
Right?
But okay. It puts seniority as a whole instead of by caucus.
Right, so you don't, your amendment, the practical effect of your amendment is the whole body becomes by seniority except for the one seat.
Correct.
Of the President pro tem. The underlying rule in the amendment that you're, as I read this correctly, this is for 2010 anyway, right?
Correct.
So in theory, you could have even if we adopt your amendment, even if we adopt the rule, in theory, before the new body comes in, they could change it all around, right? You could have a different outcome in the elections, and they could walk in here January 1st, 2011.
I guess that brings
change
the argument.
Change your rule, change the
maybe
other rule.
Maybe keeping it how it is probably the best.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, the senator from St. Francis talked to us about the rules, and I just kind of said, well, you know, we don't have any as a caucus. He was kind enough to meet with our caucus, and we've talked to him, but I don't have any, we don't have a caucus position on all this. I kind of lean with you that it should be seniority. And that's the, you know, in this environment of term limits, even with seniority, that's probably the safest thing. But I guess I want to get across, I heard you inquire to the Senator from Buchanan. Since we're talking about 2 years from now anyway, I don't know that we need to come up with a solution in the next 15 minutes.
I agree.
That even if we come up with a solution, I'm not sure what would prevent a different outcome in the elections and new people walking in here in January of 2011, changing all around anyway.
I like I said to the Senator from Buchanan, I don't want to belabor this point, but if we were doing seniority as a whole by the chairs, I just wanted to add offices as well. But I think the Senator from Buchanan made a point that maybe we need to sit down and get all more input on the issue. So I don't have a problem with that, and I don't want to belabor it. I do not believe my amendment, unless you all want to surprise me, will be successful. So I'm ready just to go ahead and move on in the power of positive thinking.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Jasper, for what reason do you seek recognition? Senator from St. Francis, do you yield? He does. You may proceed.
Yeah, I had this amendment prepared, which I wouldn't offer because it turns out that we also don't know who the appropriations chairman is at the time the seats are assigned. And it seems to me there are enough questions that have been raised here that it is worthy of additional consideration. If the senator from the 13th were to withdraw his amendment, would you consider withdrawing?
I don't care. This doesn't affect me, but I think it's, you know, I don't know if you guys consulted before we walked from voting on leadership out here to choose our seat assignments and office assignments, but you talked about it before. How'd you do that before you were elected?
I'm not suggesting that you withdraw this altogether for the entire year, but
you see what I'm saying? Either we can't do it before we're elected, or we just did it before we were elected. One of the two. One of the things is not right. Either we decided those offices and the seat assignments before the people were elected in that position, or they didn't, because we came right from the election out here and chose them. If we wait to the next session to do it, we will already have the seat and the office assignments prior to that. But that's all.
You could offer this tomorrow or next week. You don't. It doesn't have to be offered today.
That's why I said I'm happy to withdraw it.
Thank you,
Senator from the 13th.
I withdraw my amendment.
The senator from the 13th has withdrawn his amendment. Please send it back, Madam Secretary. Senator from Buchanan, for what reason do you seek recognition?
I inquire of the Senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis yields. You may proceed.
As I said to the Senator from 13, I don't know that I'm adamantly opposed to this or not. I'm just trying to think through all the ramifications. Would you be opposed, I can only do it as a sponsor with your advice and consent to do it, that we send this to the Rules Committee for further study?
I don't have a problem with that at all. I was going to withdraw my motion, but if you prefer me to withdraw it and ask to be sent to the rules, I'll be happy to do that.
I think it's a worthy issue to discuss. I just
You just saw my point. I said, of course, I had to scream it across to you before I got your attention, which is a problem with not having those people in the close proximity. I see that as a problem. But anyway, I think those offices. Maybe I was wrong, but I thought those offices and the seat assignments were done prior to us getting in here, and my point is, if we don't do something before that, as contrary to the senator from the 11th, I believe, said, then we can't wait till after the session starts because people are already moved into the office. So it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, but I'd be happy to withdraw it and send it to rules.
Okay, and like I say, I'll be happy to put some thoughts together prior to that meeting. So if you'll withdraw, and then I'll refer that.
Thank you.
Senator from St. Francis.
I'd like to withdraw the motion and ask that Senate Resolution number 140 be sent to rules.
Motion has been made to withdraw The motion from the Senator from St. Francis. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, and if the floor leader were sitting right here, I would have whispered over to him that only I can refer to rules. So would you refer that to the Rules Committee?
It shall be referred to the Rules Committee.
What's that, Dan?
Senator from St. Francis, are you seeking recognition? Proceed.
Mr. President, we're going to try to teach Senate Resolution Number 139. You would bring that before the body, and I would make the motion that we take that up.
The Senator from St. Francis has moved for the adoption of Resolution Number 139 be taken up. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from St. Francis.
President, as I said, we're going to tee this up too. This is not one, once again, not one of my ideas, but it was brought to me from both the minority and majority member. And that was the fact that the last day session here gets kind of crazy, and people tend to try to hide things into bills, and this would call for no floor substitute to be taken up for consideration by the Senate unless the substitute bill shall have been distributed to the Senate members at least one legislative day prior. Like last year, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. That was a legislative day prior. I do think it's good government, even though it's not my idea, to at least know what we're voting on. But I'd be happy to send it out the floor and get people's ideas and either vote on it or set it aside.
Senator from the 8th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
I'd like to inquire the Senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, yield.
Yes.
Senator, one of the things that when you've been talking about how you intend to run the floor this year that I thought was really a great idea was that you were going to get something out here and figure out real quick whether this was the kind of thing that we're going to get stuck on. And then you were going to challenge people
to work together, try to work out the main combatants
to get it figured out. My worry about this bill is that we could very easily get in a situation where we get there and we've automatically put ourselves in a position where we can't come back until the following day. And sometimes the amendments to these substitutes, everybody knows exactly how they're planning to be amended, and you create some momentum by sending the combatants into the room and saying, look, we're coming back to this at 4 or 5 o'clock. Whereas if it's a situation where, okay, you come to an agreement, then it gets dropped on the desk, and then it's 24 hours. Sometimes I wonder that we might lose that
urgency
that a deadline will create, not just for members here on the floor, but with the really sometimes very difficult to deal with interest groups that are interested in the bill on the outside. So just interested in your thoughts on that.
I appreciate that. I think that would mainly be on the last day if we have something that we could get done. I don't know if it would stop the momentum any other day because sometimes that doesn't happen to the very late hours of the day before. But as I said, I do believe knowing what we're voting on is an important thing. I'd be voting yes. I know there's a lot of people that agree with you that we can't facilitate negotiations as readily if we have to come up with something. But there's always, even though the House has this rule, there's always ways that you can get around it if it's absolutely
well,
necessary.
Well, one of the reasons the House has to have a rule.
But everybody needs to be voting on it. We could ask to spend that rule, and if no one has objection, then we could do that, and everybody would know that group was working on that.
Well, one of the reasons why the House would definitely need to have a rule like that is certainly to protect the minority, because the majority, and I've been in the minority in the House, never been in the majority in the House, but they could, hold on, I can't hear, sorry, Senator, the minority can literally have a 150-page bill plopped on their desk, and they have no procedural mechanism to stop it. We don't have that problem in the Senate, that if a minority member feels like they've got too much to analyze too quickly, all they would have to do is rise to their feet and say, you know, I'm going to read this thing aloud with the microphone attached to my lapel, or you're going to, will you give me time? So I think that we, and I don't know how actually I'm going to vote on this, but I think that the protections that they needed in the House for the minority on the one day lay rule, I don't know that we necessarily need it here, but
thank you.
Senator from the 30th from Greene County, for what reason do you seek recognition? Pardon?
I have an amendment.
Would you please bring that amendment forward?
It has been distributed.
You're asking for the waiver of the
and
reading?
No, I'd really like to have it read.
Certainly.
I thought you'd have that.
You'll bring that amendment forward when it arrives. The Secretary will please read that amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Champion to amend Senate Resolution Number 139, page 177, line of Senate Journal for January 26, 2009, page 177, line 22 of said journal page by inserting after the word, quote, Senate, close quote, as it appears the second time on said line the following, quote, and a brief summary of the changes to the floor substitute from the previous version of the bill is attached, close quote.
Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. It's just a one-sentence change, and whether you support this resolution or want to go back to our original rules, and I know there is controversy on the resolution we're dealing with, but I'd like to have this on either one, so I will probably offer a resolution to try to add this to our rules anyway. It's even more important when we don't have a 24-hour deadline. But this is something I've tried to get done for several years. This simply puts a brief summary on the front of the changes only from the last version of the bill, so that regardless of when you put that substitute on the floor, you don't have to look to see if it's a bill this thick and there's just one word throughout the bill change, or whether it's substitute. And Mr. President, I move for adoption of the resolution.
The senator from Green has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that amendment? Seeing none, the senator from Green is recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The senator from Green has renewed her motion to adopt Senate Amendment Number 1. All in favor of that motion, say aye. Opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Senator from Nottoway.
President, I would like to inquire the senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. You may proceed.
Senator, I appreciate your desire here to eliminate the floor sub, but I want everyone in this body to take a minute and think about this. I believe one of the great things about being in the state Senate is that there are 34 islands. Everyone in this chamber has the ability to control the process at any given point, which is much different than the House. And under, if this would pass, what we would essentially have is as individuals, we could file the bill, we could have a committee substitute that actually would be thrown out by I guess the bill handler could have the committee sub working with the chairman. But then what you are giving up, in my humble opinion, is the ability to put everyone in that room back there, which we have done on numerous occasions in this body, and force compromise, and then come right back out here and finish the job. And my fundamental belief is if this amendment passes, it begins to erode the ability of every member in this chamber. And as you all know, I have stood on this floor many times and talked about my belief that every member here has the right to slow the process down. And as we all know, the Senate only operates at the speed of the slowest member.
I agree with that, Senator.
So my concern here is, and what I want you to give us the ability to understand, is I understand the theory behind when we throw a large bill, we throw 300 pages on the desk, not everyone is quite sure what's in it. I believe that the senator from Green has an amendment that if went on the rules would help everyone understand what was in it. But I guess the House has done this, has passed this a few years ago, actually. And as the senator from the 8th said, I think it's very understandable why it works there. And I would argue, and I believe intuitively, that it doesn't fundamentally work here. And I guess I'm looking for you to help provide me some insight as to what it would do and how it does not begin to tie the hands of individual members.
Well, Senator, the great thing about being in this position, you know, I'm not carrying any bills. And, you know, when you carry bills, you have a vested interest in it. And you get it through the committees and everything before you get it out of here. You learn all about it. You talk to all the representatives from the groups. Here, all I'm doing is representing people that have brought forth this idea, and I said that I would have it talked about. In my interpretation, it's just as outrageous to this body to have a massive bill brought to you with an hour to go and say, trust me. There's nothing written in Latin or anything in there. Just trust me on this. This would never happen in this body, I know. But having one day to where people can read the changes, there are several provisions that we could do, just like the House, that if we do have people in that back room to force compromise and then they all agree that we're going to take the compromise. So I don't know if that's as big a deal as being portrayed, because they can do it over here. What it does do is stop a lot of this wholesale. You know, I went to a committee meeting a couple of years ago with a representative that was chairman of utilities, and I testified, and he brought me in, and we brought testimony all, and then he took my bill and voted on it with the number and nothing else being the same. And now if that was done with an hour to go, I've been a little bit perturbed that my bill that had nothing to do with what he just proposed, but in this building, those things can be done, and what this does is try to stop that from being done in the last few hours
of the day. Actually, I would argue, number one, that that's a good point, that that's something we all need to be cognizant of and work to make sure it doesn't happen. But I would argue there are 34 people in this room that have a responsibility not to let bad things slide through in the last hour.
And you caught the senator from St. Louis County's Latin banker.
I did not catch it. But at the same time, I would also argue that, you know, that is the prerogative of that individual, that senator, as the handler of the bill. And, you know, I don't know if we
so we want good government unless we can get by with bad.
What it caught it anyway. Yeah. I just believe.
Well, I don't know if we would have caught it, but I mean, that's an interesting theory that we want that ability unless somebody's able to sneak it in, and that unless, you know, I think that. That if we want to vote on this, fine. If we don't want to vote on it, I can live with it either way.
No, I'm fine with it.
But I think that we need to give more of a appearance. Of course, I really don't guess it matters. I watched yesterday a guy that's been cheating on his taxes for years be put in charge of taxes. So some things I don't know if we really care about anymore.
I
but
important.
I think this opens the door to some of those activities that we don't want to have the
I think
door
it's very important that we don't let Jefferson City become Washington, D.C.
I would hope
we've
not.
Seen insanity that continues to occur there.
But I'm perfectly okay if we want to vote no on this. That's why I'm saying that's a great thing. I have no ownership in this. So.
No, and I understand that. And I respect it. I appreciate you offering forward. I guess my simple, humble, country boy philosophy
is just to say no.
It's just to vote no.
Okay.
I really worry about the underlying implications of
I'm okay with that.
Members.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President, thank you.
Senator from Jasper, for what reason do you seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from St. Francis.
Senator, you yield?
I yield.
He does. You may proceed.
Senator, one of the practical effects of this rule change would be, and let's face it, there'll be a number of bills that otherwise would pass that'll die. And some of them will be bills that involve economic development responses to federal mandates that we're going to miss the trigger on, because timing at the end of the session often forces this device to be able to get something done before the end of the session. If this rule goes in place, we're going to miss the ability to pass some bills that are necessary for the people of the state of Missouri. That's just a fact. Now, the concern has been raised about the question of trust. Well, we actually have a practical example of that. A couple of years ago, there was a floor substitute of this kind that was passed. A significant number of members expressed the view that the sponsor had not been full in disclosure of the real effect of the legislation, and for a number of members they expressed the concern that he had misled the body. The next session, that legislation was in fact undone by this Senate as a direct Senate response and consequence for that perception of a misrepresentation of a substantive part of a bill. In my view, that undoing of the previous bill should have been done. The body acted correctly in a way that sent a strong message that senators have an obligation to be fully forthcoming and truthful in any substantive changes in legislation that are contained in large substitute bills. That's the tradition of the Senate.
I understand.
That's how we behave, and I think that we need to reinforce that tradition and that trust with an understanding that those sort of consequences do exist when a misrepresentation to the body occurs, and that's why I think that this rule change really is a suggestion that the Senate is incapable of behaving as the Senate, and that's one of the reasons I would not vote for this rule change.
Well, I appreciate that, and I would hope that you wouldn't be suggesting that, was the first and last time that's ever been done, that that stuff was put in the bills.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we have devices by which we can respond. And I think really what we should be addressing here is a culture in the Senate that requires as an obligation for each of us as senators to be fully forthcoming, honest, and disclose substantive changes in legislation that in some instances have been debated for years, so that legislative trickery is not employed by senators.
I would hope that.
And so that's why that should be an understood obligation of a senator and not a rule.
See, that was another reason I brought this forward, Senator. I wanted to give everybody a good warm-up in their oratory, preparing for some substantive things that are coming in the future. But I appreciate
Thank you for the inquiry.
Senator from the 8th, for what reason do you seek
recognition? Mr. President, I'd like to speak against the resolution.
Proceed.
And I apologize to my colleagues for speaking twice, but I was reminded of something. And I know that the floor leader does not intend this, but the practical effect is this empowers the lobbyist and takes power out of our hands. There are all kinds of situations where we, working together, will cobble together a solution that the interest groups outside won't like on both sides. That happens all the time. Some kind of meeting in the middle. You give them 24 hours to unleash the forces. And I agree with the senator, what my colleague from Jasper, there's going to be a whole lot less stuff passed. Because frequently, as anybody that's been in this body for very long understands, on either side of an issue, there are frequently people that are completely unreasonable, that are demanding of us that every issue, every hill is the hill to die on. Now, there are some hills to die on. I believe that with all my heart. But I want to be the one, and we should be the ones making that determination, not the folks in the hallway. 24 hours for the guys in the hallway will, I think, make sure that we're going to have a hard time on the toughest bills getting them across the finish line. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Green, for what reason do you seek recognition?
To speak against the resolution.
Proceed.
Mr. President, whether this resolution passes or not, we need a quick way of telling what the changes are. I think the Senate has more flexibility if they keep the rules the same as they are. I offered the amendment because I thought if it did pass, this will help. I will offer that amendment again. I think it will be very much needed if the body votes down this resolution. I think we need the flexibility of a last-minute ability, but I also think, not because we don't trust the senator to tell us what's in that updated version, the substitute, but because it's a faster way of our identifying where the changes are. So I would urge the body to defeat this, and I'm going to bring back the same amendment so that we have a quick way of telling what's in a last-minute substitute. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from
14th.
From the 14th, for
Thank
what reason
you.
Do you seek
I'd like to inquire the Senator from Green, please.
Senator from Green, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
She does. You
okay.
may
Senator,
proceed.
I was sitting here trying to understand exactly what you were doing with your amendment. So the amendment is on this proposal.
The amendment
here.
Is.
And so you're saying that you want this defeated. Now, where would your information go? Where would you put that amendment?
I would probably introduce another resolution, a rules change, that would add this to our rules.
Okay, so it would be separate. It would
yes.
be separate, but it would
And it's really, Senator, in my opinion, much more needed with the existing rules because we do get last-minute substitutes. And I think the Senate needs that flexibility because we have a different set of procedures than the House has, and there are times when we could really use that flexibility. But any time when you get a
Senator,
substitute.
Senator from Green, can I remind you not to turn your back to
yes,
the dais
okay.
while you're debating? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Anytime we get a substitute, we run into a problem of looking at a very thick bill and saying, is this a substantive change or is it just a minor change? So I think any substitute should have that on the front of it. And I like the rules that we have now, but I think we need this the addition that my
Okay, well, I was just trying to figure out how you were going to accomplish that, you know, without having a vehicle to do that.
That's the reason I
Three
spoke.
Senators standing on the floor at one time. A senator from St. Francis, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I would like to withdraw my... resolution.
Senator from St. Francis desires to withdraw his resolution, his motion for, on the resolution, so it will be withdrawn. Thank you. The order of business will now be concurrent resolutions. Order of business shall be introduction of bills. Senator from Dent, for what would recognize.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send the bill forward. Secretary, please read the bill after it arrives.
Senate Bill 254, introduced by Senators Barnes and Schumeyer, an act relating to the Show Me Milk Credit.
Senator, do you desire to explain your bill?
Just briefly, Mr. President. Mr. President, today Missouri is a milk deficit state. We have a very nice dairy business here in the state. However, because...
I would ask that the senators please take their conversations to the rear of the chamber as Senator from Dent is trying to explain his legislation. Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. However, today in Missouri, we bring in enough milk that you could line the tractor trailers up between St. Louis and Kansas City on a daily basis. Therefore, we need to stabilize our milk production here in the state of Missouri, and that's what this piece of legislation does. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the order of business of introduction of bills. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of bill.
Please send the bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 255, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to the Board of Curators of the University of Missouri.
Senator, do you care to explain your bill?
Yes, Mr. President, real briefly. This bill deals with the number of curators on the Board of Curators in the event that we lose a congressional district due to redistricting in 2010. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, I have three bills.
Please send those pieces of legislation forward. When they arrive, Madam Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill 256, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to county purchases.
Senator, do you care to explain that bill?
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Senate Bill 257, offered by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to the extension of certain county taxes.
Senator, would you care to explain that bill?
No, thank you. No further explanation, Mr. President.
Senate Bill 258, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to mental health duties of certain county counselors.
Senator, would you like to explain that bill?
No further explanation, Mr. President. Thank you.
We are on the order of business of introduction of bills. Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Please send those forward.
Yeah.
Madam Secretary, please read those bills.
Senate Bill 259, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to state funding for elementary and secondary education.
Senator, do you care to explain that bill?
That's pretty much self-explanatory, Mr. President.
Senate Bill 260, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to emergency care for sexual assault victims.
Senator, do you care to explain that piece of legislation?
Again, that's pretty much self-explanatory.
Thank you. We're on the order of business of introduction of bills. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements.
Mr. President, would you recognize me for a couple announcements?
Senator from St. Francis is recognized for announcements.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple things. What we're going to do today, and for the bill, the reason I withdrew that is it was obvious that we had several people who were going to speak on it and talk on it, and the fact that it didn't look like it was going anywhere, but I did want to give the people that asked to bring it forward some time for it to be heard. It was heard, and we're going to do that a lot of times with bills that are on the formal calendar this year. We will bring them up, and if enough people express problems with it and specific problems that need to be addressed, then we will give the senator or the sponsor the opportunity to address those and put it on the informal calendar. If there are not any major problems, then we'll go forward and try to pass the piece of legislation. But the other announcement is we're going to go into recess until 6:30 p.m. tonight, which at time we're going to be here. We will all go over together. And what we've done in the past has been kind of haphazard. Sometimes we all go in and come back out for the escort. Sometimes the escort will stand in back. So we're going to talk about that with a couple people and figure out what we do. But even if we have the escort stand in back, you have to duck in to be counted for roll. So if you would, we'll talk about that at 6:30 tonight. And that's what where we will recess to. And I believe we will go here and have second readings after this. And anybody got any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, we will be going to that pretty quick.
Senator from Buchanan.
Can I do a couple referrals real quick? Can you refer Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 13 and House Concurrent Resolution Number 5 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
It shall.
5 is the one on the Compensation Commission.
It shall be ordered. Senator from St. Francis, we're on the order of business of announcements.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 6. No? We've got some more to read in. Okay. Second readings, let's go to the order of business, second readings.
Order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Senator from Buchanan.
Senate Bill 201.
Senate Bill 201, an act relating to dog fighting.
General laws, Senate Bill 202.
Senate Bill 202, an act relating to the assignment of comparative fault for operating a motorcycle.
Small business, Senate Bill 203.
Senate Bill 203, an act relating to the duty of a pharmacy to fill prescriptions.
Health, Senate Bill 204.
Senate Bill 204, an act relating to psychologist licensing.
Financial, Senate Bill 205.
Senate Bill 205, an act relating to prohibiting condemnation of property owned by a gun or sportsman's club.
Ag, Senate Bill 206.
Senate Bill 206, an act relating to state officials and employees' compensation.
Ways and Means. Senate Bill 207.
Senate Bill 207, an act relating to data security breaches.
Commerce, Senate Bill 208.
Senate Bill 208, an act relating to teacher certification for part-time teachers.
Education, Senate Bill 209.
Senate Bill 209, an act relating to security interest in farm products.
Ag, Senate Bill 210.
Senate Bill 210, an act relating to a voluntary state bar association.
GAPO, Senate Bill 211.
Senate Bill 211, an act relating to the use of automated photo red light enforcement systems by local governments.
Transportation, Senate Bill 212.
Senate Bill 212, an act relating to the Small Business and Entrepreneurial Growth Act.
Jobs, Senate Bill 213.
Senate Bill 213, an act relating to the minimum time for holding investments in the Missouri Higher Education Savings Program.
Financial, Senate Bill 214.
Senate Bill 214, an act relating to manufactured homes.
General Laws, Senate Bill 215.
Senate Bill 215, an act relating to port authorities.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 216.
Senate Bill 216, an act relating to debt settlement providers.
Senate Bill 217.
Senate Bill 217, an act relating to corporate shareholders meetings.
Small Business, Senate Bill 218.
Senate Bill 218, an act relating to jury trials and termination of parental rights proceedings.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 219.
Senate Bill 219, an act relating to continuous alcohol monitoring.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 220.
Senate Bill 220, an act relating to reduced ignition propensity cigarettes.
Commerce, Senate Bill 221.
Senate Bill 221, an act relating to resisting arrest.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 222.
Senate Bill 222, an act relating to the use and disclosure of personal identification information in
certain
documents.
Commerce, Senate Bill 223.
Senate Bill 223, an act relating to sexually oriented business.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 224.
Senate Bill 224, an act relating to articles of incorporation.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 225.
Senate Bill 225, an act relating to release on bail.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 226.
Senate Bill 226, an act relating to sexually oriented businesses.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 227.
Senate Bill 227, an act relating to dangerous wild animals.
General Laws, Senate Bill 228.
Senate Bill 228, an act relating to clean energy generation.
Commerce, Senate Bill 229.
Senate Bill 229, an act relating to the posting of nursing staff levels at hospitals.
Health, Senate Bill 230.
Senate Bill 230, an act relating to the Uniform Plan Community Act.
General Laws, Senate Bill 231.
Senate Bill 231, an act relating to landlord-tenant actions.
General Laws, Senate Bill 232.
Senate Bill 232, an act relating to education requirements for public employees.
Progress and Development, Senate Bill 233.
Senate Bill 233, an act relating to teacher certification.
Education, Senate Bill 234.
Senate Bill 234, an act relating to teacher salaries.
Education, Senate Bill 235.
Senate Bill 235, an act relating to manufactured homes.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 236.
Senate Bill 236, an act relating to the payment of health insurance claims.
Health, Senate Bill 237.
Senate Bill 237, an act relating to the Nurse Licensure Compact.
Health, Senate SJR 1.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, an act relating to Missouri Savings Account Fund.
Financial, SJR 2.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, an act relating to the Highways and Transportation Commission authority to finance, construct, operate, and maintain toll facilities.
Transportation, SJR 3.
Senate Joint Resolution 3, an act relating to laws that are retrospective in operation.
Judiciary, SJR 4.
Senate Joint Resolution 4, an act relating to the assessment of real property.
Ways and Means, SJR 5.
Senate Joint Resolution 5, an act relating to assessors.
Jobs, SJR 6.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, an act relating to compensation of public officials.
SJR 7.
Senate Joint Resolution 7, an act relating to the Missouri Revenue Retention Fund.
GAPO, SJR 8.
Senate Joint Resolution 8, an act relating to hand fishing.
Ag, SJR 9.
Senate Joint Resolution 9, an act relating to the Appellate Judicial Commission.
GAPO, SJR 10.
Senate Joint Resolution 10, an act relating to impeachment trials.
GAPO, SJR 11.
Senate Joint Resolution 11, an act relating to the protection of economic freedom.
Rules, SJR 12.
Senate Joint Resolution 12, an act relating to religious freedom.
General Laws.
Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 6:30 p.m., at which time we will assemble to repair to the House of the State of the State address.
The Senator from St. Francis has moved that the Senate shall stand in recess until 6 p.m. tonight, January 27, 2009. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand in recess until 6 p.m. this evening.
You'll be fine. They give you a little bit. Yeah. Just go over there and kind of listen. You'll do fine. It takes time.